We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and a happy Saturday to all of you. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in windswept South St. Louis, Missouri.
And I'm Pastor Jedi Jolly John Lukowski. You forgot to mention that, Matt.
It totally slipped my mind. How could I forget something like that?
How could you forget that you're a Jedi? from St. Paul's Lutheran in flooded. Well, we'll match you there. You're windswept. We're flooded to Athens, Illinois.
Oh, boy.
And Darmstadt, Illinois, which
are you
is
really,
way outside of the flood.
Are you really flooded over there
in
New Athens area?
We were.
Oh, no. The Kaskaskia River?
Kaskaskia River went out of its banks. In fact, it was actually higher than it was in 93.
Is that right?
Flood of 93, yeah.
Wow.
And luckily, we don't have a lot of people that live close to the river. One of our members was affected, although they're back into their home now, and several other people in the community were driven out by the floodwaters. But that impacted us. The question I have to ask you, though, is it Pastor Jedi or is it Jedi Pastor? What's the proper form?
Yeah, is it a prefix? Pastor Jedi. I don't know. People can still call you pastor then rather than just call you Jedi.
Call us and let us know what's the problem.
I'll be honest, the force is not very strong in this one.
Not today, anyway. So here's what we'd like to do. I got a present for my stepdaughter, Stephanie, over Christmas so that I can learn some big words. It's called the big word flashcards. And I thought share this with everyone, because who doesn't want to know big words, right, Matt?
That's right.
Yeah.
Whether you're a pastor or a Jedi, a big word can always impress.
That's right. That's how people know right away that you're a pastor or a Jedi.
Oh, he must be a Jedi.
He's got big words. So I'll let you do the first one. If you want to share this one with people.
Sure. So our first big word of the day is abnormous.
Abnormous. And what does abnormous mean?
Well, it's an adjective, and it means outside of the ordinary and a little bit not normal.
Hence
abnormal. Not a lot not normal, just a little bit not normal.
Yeah.
Similar words, strange, irregular, weird, kooky.
Well, that's our word.
And according to my card here, it also says, see also two-headed turtles.
Is that talking about us?
The two-headed turtles.
Anyway, so that's abnormous. And that one's actually a rather easy one to remember because I think of abnormal, our normal. And this is what was it again, man?
Abnormous.
Abnormous.
And just to use that in a sentence, just because I'm abnormous doesn't mean we can't be friends.
Although it does make it harder.
Especially if you have two heads and you're a turtle.
If you're a two-headed turtle. So that's mine's a little more challenging. Mine is pronounced borborygmus with the emphasis on the ig. So it's borborygmus.
Borborygmus.
It's borborygmus. Borborygmus, which means the rumbling sound that tummies make when gas passes through.
Oh.
So there's a word that will come up in conversation quite often. Borborygmus. Borborygmus. Matt?
What was that?
Did you not have anything to eat? That's an abnormous borborygmus there, Matt.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We got to get you.
I just want to illustrate what that borborygmus is all about.
That's right.
I'll take the mic away from my belly now.
That's right. All right. Enough of that.
Oh,
so there's some big words for you to know. Abnormous and big. What was that? Borborygmus. So we challenge you to use those in your conversation this week.
Even though this season of Christmas is over, the gifts just keep on coming.
Right.
We're going to keep giving here on Rushing with the Basics.
And thank you for Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah. Well, in the future, we'll share with you more big words. So what do you want to do?
Right now, there's no time for foolishness.
Well, why don't we continue in the new year? We've talked about Jesus' birth, and the past couple weeks we've talked about the Magi and their visit of the Christ child.
Thank you for that. For the sake of Lynn,
that's right. Magi. Not the wise men, the Magi. We're going to kind of rewind maybe a little bit and you know, all around the same time period, but maybe a little earlier than the Magi's visit. Following Jesus' birth is Jesus' circumcision and naming.
Okay.
And then after that, we have his presentation in the temple. So, you know, kind of interesting accounts here. We really don't get a whole lot of insight into Jesus' early life. We have Christmas, of course. We have the Magi. We have Jesus in the temple when he's 12 years old. But other than those accounts, this is really the only other account with Jesus as a child.
And what I like about these accounts, particularly, Matt, is it's the same pattern we have in our life, right? We had this big Christmas, and what a Christmas it was for Mary and Joseph. You know, they got this order that they had to leave their home, so they didn't get to have Christmas with their family. No, they were off in this distant place, this place of Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. And by the way, can I make a quick comment about that?
Yeah, please do.
I might have made this already because I'm old. I repeat myself. But, you know, people wonder, well, why couldn't they find a place to stay? It is, after all, their hometown. But I was thinking, you know, I was born and raised in Independence, Missouri, but that was 40 years ago. Nobody knows me in Independence. If I were to show up in Independence, I wouldn't have any relatives or friends to live with. So anyway, my point is their whole Christmas has been disrupted.
Yes.
Darn that Caesar Augustus. I'm sure they had all kinds of plans. They maybe were going out to Holiday on Ice or whatever. But no, they can't do any of that because now they got to go down to Bethlehem where nobody knows them. But what I like about these stories is everything's back to the routine now, right? Now we're doing the stuff that we do normally, the obligations, going to the temple, fulfilling all these special rituals and sacrifices and stuff, which is what we're all doing now too, right? Christmas is over, so we're back to going to school, going back to work and all of our routines. Pastors, we don't longer have all those extra services.
Still pastoring and Jedi-ing.
Yeah, but just the same routine pastoring and Jedi stuff, just once a week now.
Right.
We don't have to meet on Wednesdays or have Christmas Eve services. So let's see how it is for Jesus' mother and father, for Jesus when they go back to the routine.
So you're saying the abnormous events of Christmas are over. the shepherds, the angels, all that.
That's right. Thank you. Exactly.
Just, I'm trying to work it and sprinkle it into conversation.
Good. Yeah. I'm just impressed. Okay. You want me to read?
Sure.
What do you want me to read?
Well, how about Luke chapter 2, verse 21? This is, by the way, this was our gospel reading at Ascension for New Year's Eve. We have a New Year's Eve service. And this was our entire gospel reading for that service, Luke chapter 2, verse 21.
And do you think now would be an appropriate time to confess? Because actually, this is supposed to be the New Year's Day text.
You said you weren't going to rat me out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
can't trust anybody.
So, yes. Thanks, John. So technically, this is the New Year's Day text. The events here take place 8 days after Jesus' birth.
Right.
So it sort of makes sense that typically January the 1st, we would read this New Year's Day and recognize on that 8 days after that celebration of Christmas, these events that take place 8 days after that first Christmas. But since we don't have a New Year's Day service, we read it New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So
you are
thanks,
forgiven.
John.
You are forgiven. And at the end of 8 days, as you just said, Matt, when he, that's Jesus, was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
And that's about it.
We usually stand
for the gospel reading. You know, I have people stand and then they sat right back down.
That's right. Hardly worth standing up for.
Yeah, well.
So what did you do with it? Because it is just one verse and you had to do a whole sermon on this.
Yeah. Which was kind of nice. We had reservations at a restaurant after the service. So it's kind of in and out.
So now, dear people at Ascension, if you wondered why the sermon was so short, it's because he had someplace else to go.
Holy
no. Oh, that is not true. Not true. Anyway, we did have reservations, but that's not the reason for the short reading. There's a more important reason.
Okay.
All right. So let's take a look at this a little bit here and dig a little deeper. So here's Jesus being circumcised, which, you know, and again, on New Year's Eve, circumcision is probably not foremost on our minds as we're ringing in the new year. But yet it's still something to think about. I think it causes us to sort of look back and look forward, if we can say it that way, well, kind of what we do in the new year.
Sure.
And first of all, just to look back, why the 8 day circumcision on the 8th day? Well, it goes all the way back to Genesis.
How far back?
I'm I'm glad you asked. Genesis chapter 17.
Yes.
That far. It goes all the way back to Abraham, where God gives him this visible sign of circumcision. Just read a few verses here from Genesis 17. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you will be circumcised. So here, Mary, Joseph, they're obeying the law. They're obeying God's command.
They're
doing what God told them to do.
And a big thing, because it has to do with a covenant. It has to do with a relationship with God. It's not just some ritual you're fulfilling, but there is a symbolism, a meaning behind this.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. There's meaning behind this. And Jesus is doing this in our place for us, you know, similar to his baptism in the Jordan, how he's being baptized, not to forgive him for any sin. No, he's perfect, but for us. And here, being circumcised, fulfilling the law again for us. So again, Jesus fulfilling the law and doing it for us, doing what we can't do, doing it perfectly. The other thing I think is so important about this is already we see why he's coming to this world. We see that already this work of atonement for us too.
Yes.
You know, already with this first drop of blood in circumcision, he's shedding blood on our behalf.
Yeah, that's a nice thought.
And it is kind of a neat thought, and really, you know, a foreshadowing then of that time when it just won't be a little scalpel that sheds his blood, but it'll be nails and a crown of thorns and a spear. When, of course, Jesus dies on the cross and sheds his blood for the sin of the world.
And by the way, I'm thinking, kids, if you'd like to know what circumcision is, ask your parents.
Ask your parents.
Don't come to us.
Yeah.
But it does involve the shedding of blood.
I skipped the children's message for that service. Oh, kids, we're going to talk about circumcision. No, but, yeah, you know, to talk about circumcision in Christian terms, too, we also, of course, want to mention and point out that that's also a foreshadowing, too, of baptism.
Right.
That even greater act of baptism, and more than just a sign or a symbol.
Thank heavens we have baptism instead of circumcision nowadays. It is nice. It's very, very nice. Although I'm circumcised, I'm assuming you are too.
Well, that's a little personal, John.
Oh, shoot.
But the again, getting back to baptism quickly. Paul writes, you know, in Christ you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands.
Okay? Ah, yes.
By putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. You're also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So again, pointing to baptism. You know, and what a gift. More than just a sign, but a regeneration, a new person, a gift to us, no matter whether we're 8 days old or 108 years old, this gift that God gives us today, that's all connected to Christ, the one in whom we're connected in death and burial of the old person, but also in that rising again to new life and his resurrection.
So let me ask you, is baptism different than circumcision? Obviously, they're related. As you said, Paul makes that relationship. Circumcision was what you did if you were a Jewish boy, to mark you as part of the covenant, that you were part of Abraham's descendants, part of God's people. Obviously, baptism does the same thing for us. It marks us as God's children. In fact, isn't that be born again of water and the Spirit?
Sure.
Jesus exorcist. But is baptism more powerful than circumcision, or what do you think?
Well, I'd say it's really the fulfillment really of that promise. So in that respect, I would say it's greater. It's this new covenant, this better covenant that we have as God's people, meant for men and women, for boys and girls, for infants, meant for all people. And it's again, just getting back to basics, that water and God's word connected. And again, more than just an outward sign, but also this total regeneration, a new person, a new man, a new woman in Christ.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good answer, I think, Matt. So it's the fulfillment. I like that. So the circumcision pointed ahead to something, but as you said, first of all, it's just for males. So the women were left out. It was just for Jewish males. Mm-hmm. So all the Gentiles are left out. And so what the power of baptism is now, it's all inclusive. It includes everybody. And I like the fact, like you said, it really does change things. Everything's different after you've been baptized. Yeah. We maybe should do the baptism of Jesus sometime.
Yeah,
in the future,
you bet.
Because it's a nice picture of what happens when people are baptized.
Yeah.
And it reflects on what you said. Jesus doesn't need to be baptized. He doesn't mm-hmm. need to be circumcised. But he does, taking our place. And I think he also points ahead to the exciting things that happens when we're baptized as well.
Yeah. And I think this is something that the early church wrestled with. Yeah. Well, I know they wrestled with it. You know, in the book of Acts, the book of Galatians, you know, do we need to, as Christians, do we need to be circumcised still? What about these Gentiles who are becoming Christians? Do they need to be circumcised to really be saved now?
It was supposed to be for all generations. Didn't
yeah,
say
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
Never-ending covenant. Yeah.
So, but again, the conclusion the early church comes to, and Paul is very clear on this, is no, circumcision isn't necessary for salvation. It's not a work that we do for salvation. It's about what Christ has done. But yet the early Christians, they're baptized. Repent and be baptized for forgiveness. And so it is today, too, this gift of God, not an act of the law or something we're doing, but no, it's this gift of God, his work in baptism. And I think we see that so beautifully when it is an infant, that it's the work being done in them. For them in Christ.
And of course, that's the issue, because it's a broader issue. How much of the Jewish stuff do we have to bring over? That's mm-hmm, what the church mm-hmm. has to wrestle with, because the early church is primarily Jewish people. That's Jesus was a Jew. His disciples were Jews, but now they're expanding out into the Gentile world. And so, well, how much of it do we require? And the council there at Jerusalem, they say, well, you probably should avoid meat with blood in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a tradition that we can continue. And probably shouldn't commit adultery. That's a tradition we can continue. But then they said, oh, no, you don't have to do circumcision. And actually, I'm thinking, don't you think it was kind of a practical decision on their point? Because it's one thing to be circumcised as a little baby Jewish boy when you're born at 8 days, when you don't really know what's going on. But to go to all these Gentiles and say, well, now that you're 30 or 40, you're good. I think probably that would have been a big impediment to the spread of Christianity.
Guess what, guys?
Yeah.
We got to do what to join your church? I thought it was bad enough we had to do that 10-week adult instruction class.
Yeah, what a relief for those adult confirmants. Well, and, you know, again, so, you know, we're looking backwards to Genesis.
Yes.
But those who are being circumcised in the Old Testament are looking forward, as we've pointed out already, he's pointed out to the Savior. And really, you know, think about that, too, how that circumcision before Christ comes is sort of that visible reminder, you know, really every day for a circumcised male of this covenant, God's covenant, and connected to that promise of a Savior, that Savior that would come through the generations, the procreation through the generations, and finally will come not from the seed of a man, but through the seed of, well, the Holy Spirit himself, conceived by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ.
That is a cool insight. I hadn't thought about that, because the whole point is the seed, right? There's got to be. And of course, that's kind of what circumcision is involved in, where the seed comes from, and kind of a constant reminder. But I also like the point too, Matt, that they didn't believe they were saved because they were circumcised. Mm-hmm. They believe that circumcision pointed them ahead to the name that we've got to get in about here too.
Yeah. So it's all about Jesus.
And the same way for us for baptism. We're not saved because we had water poured on us, but we're saved because of what God said that water with his word accomplished in us. And so as they believe the promises, so we believe the promises.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. More about looking back.
No, go ahead. We can move on to the name. And
okay, well, you wanted to look forward, too.
But sure.
Okay, all right.
Well, the looking forward, I think, in this is for Abraham and those after him, looking forward to that Savior.
Okay.
But then also for us, you know, that circumcision looks ahead to baptism for us, too. So in that circumcision, when Jesus is circumcised, looking back to the Old Testament, to Abraham, that covenant, but also looking forward then to the work he'll do at the cross and also to baptism.
And it is interesting that Jesus never commands us to be baptized, to be circumcised, but he does command us to be baptized. Okay.
Yes.
What else, Matt?
All right, good. So on that eighth day, circumcision, but also the naming. The naming. You know, it's interesting here. Let me just share with you.
Sure.
In the sermon, I appreciate this, just for fun. Just talked a little bit about baby names, because I think that's interesting.
Yes, it is.
So in the when were you born? What decade? The 1950s?
53.
Okay. 53. Okay. Way back then.
Those ancient days.
So the top five baby names for the decade of the 1950s were, for guys, David, number five.
Wow.
Number four is John.
There you
no
go.
No surprise there. Robert, number three. Two, Michael. And number one was James.
Was the number one?
It was number one. For the girls, it was number five, Deborah, then Susan, Patricia, Linda, and number one was Mary. All right. 1950s. 1980s. See, I was born in 1980. Pastor Matt Youngblood over here. top five guys' names. Number five, David, then Joshua, then Matthew, my first name. Christopher, the number one is Michael. For girls, it was Sarah, Ashley, Amanda, Jennifer, and then Jessica was number one. This past year, 2015, the guys, Lucas, Mason, Ethan, Noah, our son's name, by the way.
Yeah.
And the number one was Liam.
Liam.
I'm going to guess that. And then girls, Mia, Ava, Sophia, Olivia, and Emma. So interesting. Well, you know, the point in talking about that, because there's a point. I'm glad you're not running
that sound effect.
You're going to make this.
Yeah. By the way, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point.
All right.
Here is the point.
More interesting for the listener.
Those names change over time. None of the names in 2015 were popular in the 1950s. But the name.
Now, hold on just a second. I think if you look at your list, I think John is still like in the top 25 or something.
Well, maybe the top 25 if we're going to go that far.
Go ahead. Go finish your point.
But. Some names are kind of irrelevant today, but the name Jesus, that's number one for all decades and all time. You saw that?
Yeah.
And of course that name Jesus means Savior, the Lord saves.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting too. In our one verse reading we heard earlier, the name that the angel gave.
Yes.
Mary and Joseph, they don't get to look through the list of popular names and see what they want to name their kid. And he's not Joseph Jr., but it's Jesus for a purpose. And the angels tells that to Mary and to Joseph,
both.
You know,
that's
I think
right.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Jesus, the Lord saves. And of course, it's more than just a name, but it's who he is. It's what Jesus does. There in his circumcision already, but then ultimately his death, his resurrection. And then, you know, just to bring out the point, no matter what our name is, whether we're one of those popular names on the list or not, whether John or Matt or Pastor or Jedi, we all bear the name Jesus. We all
That's
bear
right.
the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we received at
our baptism.
At our baptism. Yeah, at our baptism. And then, you know, as we enter this new year, I think it's kind of a neat reminder of that. And especially, I always think of Luther's words in the Small Catechism. He makes this recommendation that when people get up in the morning, what's the first thing they do?
Remember your baptism.
Yeah, remember your baptism by making the sign of the cross and saying in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So just an encouragement to our listeners, not that you have to do that every morning like Luther recommends, although it's not a bad recommendation.
Yeah, no.
But to each day, and each year, each day in this new year, to remember that, to remember what name you bear, to remember whose you are, that you are, through baptism, a dearly loved child of God, and that you bear that name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that was placed on you in water and word at your baptism.
And you know why that's so cool, Matt? Because you have no idea what's going to happen during that day. You don't know how you're going to live your life during that day. Bad things might happen. You might sin. You might have doubts, but it doesn't change the fact, does it?
Yes.
That you are the child of God, brother with Jesus Christ,
yeah.
the receiver of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Yeah. Nothing can change that.
Nope.
And no one can pluck us out of our Savior's hands. And that's a great thing to remember, that name, I think, each new day and also with each new year.
So next week, we'll finally get around to what we've been telling people we're going to have done the last 3 weeks, and we're finally going to get around to the story of Anna and Simeon, right? Because that's the next thing.
That's right. That's the very next verse is about Anna and Simeon as we continue to look at these accounts that take place during Jesus' infancy. Until then, we'll see you next week, and God's blessings. This is Wrestling with the Basics.